Beloved, I identify myself with some of Kamapa's disciples. Well, you are a disciple as a disciple, no? If you're not a disciple, then you cannot identify. If you are a disciple, you will identify. A disciple is a disciple who is touched by the Master, no? As they shared in the movie, I also feel shaky when I'm close to you, and also think you are very handsome. Everything that is false and all egos, everything that is unconscious will feel shaky in front of an enlightened being, because you will be challenged to look at yourself, no? That is the whole cleansing process. Till one day there is no more shakiness. There is only peace. You have nothing more to hide, nothing more to be shaky about. I could relate to them too when they used the word transmission. That for me is the melting, the merging I feel when I'm in your presence. Yes, that is what they call satsang. You go beyond your little self to the real self. You merge, you melt, you disappear. Then there is a merging, a meeting. That only a disciple, a devotee can feel. Because you have nothing in between. No outsider can feel that. Everybody feels something, of course. But you have to be ready to let go of the ego to feel that merging, that melting, that disappearance. Then there is only oneness. It was so beautiful to see that even though the Tibetan tradition is so different from what we live here with you, the essence is the same. The heart connection is exactly the same. It all comes down to the heart connection. Like I have said many times, everything we do here is just the preparation for that. And it's much easier. It is such a blessing to have you in my life, beloved. You are the diamond, eternally grateful. I love you from the bottom of my heart, Kamal. Wow, beloved, what a satsang yesterday. You really explode our bubbles and expand our beings. I knew nothing about enlightened beings until I met you. And I definitely had no idea it could be so real. So now, so close and so precious. That is what I'm doing. I'm introducing you to this family of enlightened ones, the different mystics, the poets, the art, the beauty, the silence, the meditation. That is totally hidden from the ordinary people. It should be the most valuable. But it's forgotten. That's what every enlightened being has to do, to remind you and to teach you about an enlightened way of living, of being. Now, a few years with you, and I'm not the same as before. It is difficult, even though some of you really try to hold on to the past, to not to change at least a little bit. Even the most stubborn ones, who hasn't decided yet. Some things will change. Where is Nashima? Yes. And not a few years. You have been around for 10 years. But I had to work hard on you. Inside myself and the way you show me the world, both are so new, so much bigger, and you are always offering more and more and more. As more space is in you, the more openness in you, the more can be given. You just have to go on making space. You challenge me, you make me transform and grow. Yeah, without any challenges, there is no growth. And the ego doesn't like challenges because it likes to be stagnant, safe. It doesn't dare to go into the unknown. But only then can your true intelligence come forth. You surprise me, you take me deeper, higher, vaster. What an adventure. With you, my master, who is truth itself, it is so far out, revealing all the mysteries of life, of ourself. May I find all the ways to receive this and more and more and more open. Yours, Nashima. With the enlightenment, it will always happen in the moment. So the only way, if you first connect with the master, you can learn all the secrets because everything is there. But it is between the words, it's not in any teaching. and is not in the words that he is talking about either. It is this secret transmission. That's why I wanted to show you and talk about this Tibetans also, because if you have a heart master, your root guru, if you are devoted, if you are total, you don't need anything else, because everything happens in the silence, in the opening. But in the West, they don't have that. Even the seekers, they are always thinking, comparing, reading, listening. That is because you don't have deep enough connection with One. When I said I didn't know it was any other enlightened beings before, when I met Karmapa, it's not like I didn't know. I knew. I knew about Krishnamurti. I knew about Nisargadatta Maharaj. I knew about Nim Karoli Baba. But I hadn't met them. No? My whole focus was on my master. I wasn't interested at all. And I wasn't even interested to meet him. But it happened. And he welcomed me, was very happy, very both happy. But the thing is, I sensed the same thing. It was the same climate. And that's why you cannot be fooled if you first have tasted it. Because many people are talking about the truth, but they don't live the truth. And in fact, everybody, all enlightened beings, I have met by chance many, many, they all have received me very happy, very smiling, very welcoming. Even invited me to stay together. Invited to come with me, to come with them. Invited me over to have dinner. Buddha says, those who have failed to work towards the truth have missed the purpose of life, of living. And that you can only find this secret, this truth, this love, this can only happen between the disciple and the master. It's not a communication, it's a communion. It is a oneness. It's a silent transmission. That is devotion, that is totality. If you are cold and you find fire, you stick to that fire, you know how valuable it is. Osho says, Mahakasyapa is known to very few people because he never wrote and never gave discourses. One day Buddha came to his morning discourse with the lotus flower in his hand. He sat silently looking at the flower, not saying a single word. The assembly of 10,000 sannyasins was really bewildered. This was unheard of. In the first place, Buddha, who had never before come with anything, comes with the lotus flower. Secondly, he used to speak immediately. But today, minutes and then hours passed, and he just looking at the flower. Many must have thought the master must have gone mad. Only one man did not agree. He laughed. That man was Maha Kashyapa. Buddha raised his eyes, laughed also, and called Maha Kashyapa to him. He gave him the flower and told the assembly that the sermon was over, saying, I have given to you what you are entitled to, and I have given to Maha Kashyapa what he deserves, and rightly so. I have talked to you for so many years in words, and you have never understood. Today, I have spoken in silence, and the laughter of Maha Kashyapa has shown that he has understood. In this mysterious way, the successor was found. Maha Kashyapa becomes Buddha's successor. Very strange ways. This is for the insiders. Make yourself comfortable because it's story time. I wanted to go on with a nice story about Govind and Osho and you and enlightenment and all these nice things. Govind says, Beloved Osho, the other day I have narrated an event, and yesterday you replied in your own way. The event, the question and answer is known to you and me only. Now I can understand what must have transpired between Bhagavan Buddha and the disciple Maha Kashyapa. No, that's why I read this Maha Kashyapa story first. Beloved Osho, is not the language but the silence that has and had asked, that has answered and had been answered. Words are not spoken, but I have listened. There was a flower between Buddha and the disciple Maha Kashyapa. Between you and me there was something else. You know and I know what it was, something that you brought and gave, and something that I received. Everybody have seen it, and yet no one knows it. The disciple Maha Kashyapa laughed. I shed tears. My beloved, beautiful Lord, my heart bows down to you, full of gratitude and thankfulness, and eyes full of tears of joy and happiness. This event is repeated again on September the 22nd, 1986. Let it be recorded. Osho, would you like to comment? No, this is 14 years later than yesterday. Time flies, sir. So now Govind has matured. And he was a family man, a businessman in Bombay, but he was sticking to his master and meditation. unwavering. Govind Siddhartha, says Oju, the laughter of my Kashyapa and the tears of yours do not mean different things. Perhaps you laugh more deeply than my Kashyapa. When laughter is abysmal, it can only come out into tears, tears of joy, tears of gratitude, tears of blissfulness. Yes, something has transpired between me and you, and the date that you are giving is absolutely accurate. It will be on record. The Master can give only something which cannot be seen by the ordinary eyes. You are here to taste something of the beyond. And that day, Govind Siddhartha tasted something of the beyond. He experienced the flowering. I have not given a flower to him, but he has experienced the flowering of his inner lotus. Every one of you, sooner or later, is going to taste, to experience the same mystery. He is what Gautama Buddha used to call, he has become an elder. He has become an elder, he has grown up. He is not a baby sannyasin. He is not a teenage sannyasin. He is not a grown-up sannyasin. He is an elder. He is mature. He has arrived to the point which we call enlightenment, and you should rejoice in it because one of you becoming enlightened makes it easier for you to become enlightened also. It makes it possible. It brings it within your reach. Enlightenment is not something that comes from above. It is something that grows in you. The seed everyone is carrying for lives together. Jesus used to say, you can throw the seeds. Some may fall on the rocks and will never grow. Some may fall on the footpath. They will grow but will be crushed by people continually passing on the footpath. Only some will fall into the right soil and will grow and realize the ultimate flowering. They will dance in the wind, in the sun, in the rain, expressing their gratitude to existence. This is the garden. That's how it is with the disciples. You never know. The Master is planting the seed. But it depends how you take care of it. What has happened to Govind Siddhartha, I hope and bless you all that nobody should be left behind. You all have to claim your birthright. A few days later, Govind Siddhartha asked this question. I have no words to express your love and compassion showering on me. My gratitude and thankfulness cannot be expressed in any word or any language. Please forgive me for my shortcomings. Also, please forgive me, my dearest Lord Osho, that you had to bend down to take my head into your hands. I know how painful your back is. It was so painful for me that because of me, you had to bend down. On that day of my sannyas, you had taken my hand in your hands. Yesterday, you had taken my head in your hands. I hope, pray, and beg everyone's blessings that I can become worthy of it. My beloved Master, please tell and explain to all that the journey has only begun. I'm not yet ready worthy of their respect. Instead of respect, let all give me their blessings so that one day I can become worthy of really touching your feet. My Master, I am requesting and pleading with folded hands to you to tell all to save me from embarrassment, giving respect to me which I do not deserve yet. Osho said, the laws of spiritual life are diametrically opposite to those of the ordinary mundane existence. In the world, everybody wants to be respected, whether one deserves it or not. In fact, the less people deserve, the more they want it. In the spiritual realm, the more you deserve it, the less you want it. I am happy to know that you feel embarrassed by people respecting you. That is a sign of real humbleness. And to say that you do not deserve it makes you worthy enough to be respected. Recognition from others is sought only by people who are suffering from inferiority. A real superior man is not aware of his superiority. He is not in any need of recognition from others. His superiority is just his nature. Govind Siddharth, don't feel embarrassed if people respect you. You will have to learn and to see people's respect in a new light. When people respect you, they are respecting their own potential. They are respecting one of their brothers that has arrived. They are recognizing you not as you. You have become a mirror, and they can see their possibilities opening. They are thankful to you because you have made them feel for the first time, not inferior to anybody. You have given them their humanity, their respectability. You have become an argument, a proof for their own possible fulfillment. So when they respect you, accept it with love, with respect. Realize the fact that they are seeing themselves in you. You have been of tremendous help to them because you come from them. You have been a fellow traveler. But it is tremendously beautiful on your part to feel that you don't deserve it. That is only felt by people who deserve it. That's what I mean. That's what I meant when I said in the spiritual life, laws are diametrically opposite to what they are in the ordinary mundane world. In the world, you have to try hard to be somebody, because you go on feeling that you are nobody. You are so empty, so meaningless, so faceless that you are begging. You are just a beggar, begging everybody. Give me a face, give me a name, an identity. And people give it to you. But those faces are just masks. Those identities are just false. They make you hypocrites. They make you believe what you are not. And you have wasted many, many of your lives in believing in things which you are not. And that you have never been. In such a moment of transformation as Govind has passed through, one for the first time drops all the masks, all the old identities. One accepts oneself as nameless, as a nobody. And this is the tremendous miracle, that the moment you accept yourself as a nobody, for the first time, you have really become somebody. For the first time, you have attained to your original face. And if people see it happening, it is very good for people, because it will become a remembrance to them, something that they had forgotten. In your presence, you make them remember. And you cannot take away their right to thank you. That is what respect means. The word respect is beautiful. It does not mean honor. That is a dictionary meaning. Existentially, it means respect, a desire to see again. Somebody looks at you, remember something, wants to remember more, wants to feel, wants to look at you deeper, wants to be closer to you, wants to look into your eyes, wants to hold your hands. It has nothing to do with honor. It is simply an effort to remember his own forgotten treasure. I can totally relate to what Govind Siddhartha is saying. When it happened to me, then Osho had already left the body. But it's so vast and so new and so fresh, so unknown, and at the same time so familiar, that nobody understands it. But you become shining in a way. So it was difficult to hide it, but I wanted to hide it. And even though existence put me in contact with other great enlightened people who had been enlightened for a long time, like Girdha and Papaji, who recognized the happening. And Papaji even said, you have to go and share this. But I said, you have to go to your country. You have to go to Europe to share. And I said, but I'm living in India. And if I meet anybody, I'll bring them to you. What do I have to say? I'm just a baby, bliss baby. And maybe 7 years. It took before I start coming out and share about it. Because it's nothing special. And still it's so special. Then we go on with Govind Siddhartha and his story. Beloved Osho, is this a question, a realization, or a declaration? This is how it is. You don't know. Something beyond forces me to put this on paper. Though I'm writing this, the words are not mine. It is past midnight, about 5 o'clock on the full moon night of the Indian month, known as Bhadra the Thursday, is this Guru Vas Master Day in the Indian language. I am deep in Vipassana meditation. As my eyes open, a dazzling white bright light brightens the room. I cannot keep my eyes open, as the light is too dazzling. After a few minutes, I can open my eyes and I become quite aware. Two figures are standing before me. One is the beloved Osho with folded hands and that gentle, beautiful smile. The other one is Buddha in Gyan Mantra. It is Buddha's third body. He looks at the beloved Osho, and after a few moments, he touches the feet of Osho and merges with his body, smilingly. I hear him saying, I have fulfilled my promise. I was to come as Maitreya after 2,500 years, and I have come. If you have eyes, you will see me. If you have ears, you will hear me. If you have a heart, you will feel and recognize me. My third body I have kept in existence to rebirth, to help whoever wanted my help. With due respect and adoration, I have to state that I could have merged with Krishnamurti, but due to his insistence of being original, I could not merge and help individual through him. I was hopeful, as he was especially prepared for my appearance. But he was adamant. His body suffered a lot due to his resistance to accepting me. He preferred and chose ceaselessly pain and suffering for this. My third body now cannot remain in existence if it is not accepted for rebirth or merging. The time I had decided for is coming close to an end, and so I cannot wait any longer. And hence, I'm merging my third body with Bhagwan's energy without disturbing his individuality. He is like an ocean. Many small and big rivers merge with it, but still the ocean remains. Its identity remains as an ocean without any change. In him, all enlightenments, past, present, and future, have become alive and active. An unique event has happened that has never happened before and will not happen again. Bhagwan is total acceptance, total emptiness, total nothingness, and unbounded compassion. He is both Purna and Shunya incarnated. From my third body, I address him as Bhagwan, but now onwards, he will not only be Bhagwan Rajneesh, he will be Osho Bhagwan, the Buddha Lord Maitreya, a Buddha, a true friend to all. Thus saying, Buddha's third body merged with our beloved, beautiful Bhagwan. Osho's radiance was increasing and filled the whole universe. I remember the prophecy of Lama Karmapa, who had predicted this event, but had asked me not to talk about this, not to talk about this event till it happened. Now it has happened, and flowers has showered. So let it be known to all, let it be shouted from the rooftops that Osho, the Buddha Lord Maitreya, is here. Buddha has fulfilled his promise. The light was fading. The full moon was setting slowly in the west with its cool, silent, fading light. And in the east, the new sun was rising with the light orange glow, silently bringing a new day, and with it, a new journey. Beloved, beautiful Osho slowly, slowly disappeared with a gentle smile and folded hands, leaving me in that gentle morning light with a heart full of gratitude and eyes full of tears. Beloved Osho, I bow down to you, announcing to the world that Bhagwan, Rajneesh, the Buddha, Lord Maitreya, is here and flowers have showered. To date, masters have declared themselves, but today a disciple declares with gratitude that the master, the Buddha, the real friend, has come with a new radiance to help all. Beloved Osho, I have nothing to offer, not even a flower, and yet I offer everything. Thus, something is given and something is taken. O beloved sannyasins, devotees and friends who are present here are the blessed ones to hear this declaration and witness this unique event. O sannyasins, rejoice, celebrate, and sing Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami. Beloved Osho, I was reluctant to write this to you, but something unknown forces me to write to you. I do not know whether this is right to do or not. Will you please comment on the event? I will leave you in the gap now. Hopefully the gap of emptiness. Emptiness of the Buddhas. Pah.
Child.
of your answers, Govind Siddharth, it is not a question, it is a realization, and it is a declaration. Whatever you have experienced was not a dream. Your whole life may have been a dream, but this experience is absolute reality. That is why you felt an unknown force compelling you to declare it. You had to declare it. It is impossible to hide the truth. It is not only happening to you alone. There are two more persons present here to whom the same experience at the same time has happened. They are also hesitating whether to declare it or not. The hesitation is natural because the declaration is so big and you feel so small, but you cannot keep it within you. It is just like a pregnant woman. How long can she hide that she is pregnant? Every truth is a living experience, and the very nature of life is expression, expansion, declaration. Each flower declares it. Each morning the sun declares it. Each night millions of stars declare it. Of course, the language of declaration is different. A flower declares it by its fragrance. The star declares it by its light. The moon declares it by its beauty. But truth, beauty, goodness, these three, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, are the basic, the fundamental trinity of existence. You cannot hide them. One feels embarrassed. Or how to say it? And to say it in a world which is skeptical, in a world where people are deaf as far as truth is concerned, where people are blind as far as beauty is concerned, where people don't have hearts as far as feelings, sensitivity is concerned. One feels alone to declare such a thing. But it's not out of egoism. You cannot declare such a thing out of egoism because the ego will feel very embarrassed. And ego does not like to feel embarrassed. It is out of humbleness that one declares such an experience. I was waiting. Out of these three persons, who is going to declare it first? Govind Siddharth has proved really humble, courageous. Whatever he is saying, he has seen. It is not sleep, not dream. It is true that Jiddu Krishnamurti was prepared for exactly this phenomenon. Gautama the Buddha has promised that after 25 centuries, he will be coming as Lord Maitreya. Maitreya means the friend. The physical body died, but there are other bodies within this body which don't die. And he has lived with his third body. He cannot be born through a womb. That is impossible. It's against the nature of things. Once you are enlightened, you cannot be born through the natural process, through a womb. It is his compassion. No one before him has ever tried. Perhaps no one before him had such a compassion. The story is that Buddha reaches the door of Nirvana. And once you enter the door, you disappear into the universe. The doors are opened. The doorkeeper welcomes him. But Buddha refuses to enter the door. And he says, I will stay here outside the door because millions of my fellow travelers are groping in the dark. I will try in every possible way to help them. unless every living being has passed through this door, I will wait. I'm going to be the last. This is not just a parable, not just a fictitious story, but something absolutely factual in the world of mysticism. It is not factual in the world of matter. It is factual in the world of the spirit. Krishnamurti was prepared by very learned scholars who had found all the old scriptures, Tibetan, Chinese, Japanese, Indian, the promise of Buddha that after 25 centuries he would be coming back. I will find a way. I cannot come through a womb, but I can enter into a living being, can merge my soul with his soul. When the Theosophists found this, they started searching for somebody who could be prepared in purity, in discipline, in meditation, consciously, so that he can become a vehicle of Lord Maitreya. They worked really hard on Krishnamurti. He was not the only one they worked on. They had chosen at least 5 children of immense intelligence, and they worked on all 5. One of the 5 was Nityananda, Krishnamurti's elder brother. He died. He died because too much arduous discipline. He was immensely intelligent. He would have become a great scientist, a great philosopher, but he was not meant to become a great mystic, and perhaps not the vehicle of Gautama the Buddha. Training those 5, and when Nityananda died, the 4, slowly it became clear that Krishnamurti was the best one out of the 4. One was Raj Gopal, who was made personal secretary to Krishnamurti, and he betrayed Krishnamurti because he carried that resentment for his whole life. He was chosen for the same purpose, and finally he was just made a personal private secretary. He was angry, resentful, but he didn't show it. He was the managing trustee of all the properties that belong to the organization. Which was created for Krishnamurti. Its name was the Star of the East. The royalties for all of the Krishnamurti books were going to Raj Gopal. And just 5 years ago, he simply betrayed Krishnamurti. He said, "You have nothing to do with the organization, the money, the books, the royalties." At the age of 85, Krishnamurti had to begin again from ABC. This man, Raj Gopal, must have had a tremendous patience, because for 60 years he kept the resentment repressed in himself, waiting for the right moment when Krishnamurti was so old that he could not do anything. At that moment he would desert him. He took away all the assets of Krishnamurti Foundation. He was the head of the foundation, and Krishnamurti was left at the age of 85 just a beggar. Remember, a beggar means no money. Otherwise Krishnamurti was the king. Another boy who was trained was a German. Seeing that he was not going to be chosen, he behaved just like any German would. He created a new organization and revolted against this theosophical movement, created a split in the movement, and the German section of this theosophical society became a separate party. He became the leader of it, hoping that he would compete with Krishnamurti. Not understanding at all these matters are not of competition. You see, these games, ego games, goes on everywhere. everywhere. It doesn't matter, around Buddha, around Krishnamurti, around Osho, everywhere you have it. Even if the master is enlightened, the disciples are definitely not enlightened. Krishnamurti himself, after years of training and discipline, rather than becoming pure, rather than becoming a right vehicle, he became so hateful towards all the ringleaders who were torturing him, telling him to fast, telling him to do this, telling him to wake up early in the morning at 3 o'clock, having a cold bath, and all with all good intentions, but they never realized the fact that you cannot make anybody a Gautama, the Buddha. It's not a question of training. However good the intentions are, the result is going to be a disaster. Krishnamurti was made, he was going to declare that Buddha had entered into him and he had become the world teacher. But he was a sincere man. Buddha did not enter. It was such a shock to the 6,000 leaders of the movements who had come from all over the world. They could not believe it. They had prepared this man. They had fought for this man in the courts. They had done everything that was possible to give him the best education. He never gave an indication that he was unwilling. Just at the last moment, when he stood up, he declared, "I dissolve the whole organization, the Star of the East. I'm not the world teacher." It was a reaction. You cannot force anybody into paradise. A forced paradise will become a hell because the basic element of freedom is missing. Buddha's third body has been hovering around the world to find someone to become a vehicle so that whatever he said 25 centuries ago can be updated, resurrected, made fit for the modern man, for the new man who is going to be born. In 25 centuries, so much dust has gathered that unless something absolutely fresh begins, it has to be done. There are millions of Buddhists. There are thousands of great Buddhist monks. It looks simply absurd that he would not choose a vehicle from these people. It will be just natural and logical to choose a Dalai Lama or a great Buddhist monk. But you have to remember, that is one of my basic emphases, that these people cannot be chosen because they are still hanging on to the Buddha that was 25 centuries ago. To choose them as vehicle is just meaningless. They will be repeating the same old story. I love Gautama the Buddha as I have not loved any other master, but my love is not blind. I have criticized him as severely as possible. I have praised him when I found him right, right for today, right for tomorrow, right for the new humanity to come. And I have criticized him severely whenever I have found that he is 25 centuries old, still carrying conditions, rotten ideas, which are of no use for the new man, but will be a great hindrance. Govind Siddharth must have been puzzled seeing what he has seen, because it would appear to be the last man that Buddha would choose to be a vehicle. But this is the beauty of Buddha. He understands that the masses has to be for the present and for the future, that he needs an absolutely fresh being, unattached to any old tradition, his tradition included, a man absolutely untraditional, unorthodox, a man of today, as fresh as today's rose. Even if the man goes many times against the teaching of the old Buddha, I was not going to declare it for the simple reason that then it will become difficult for me to criticize the old man. So I was keeping completely aloof, so that my freedom and my independence are not in any way curtailed. I have my own message. If Gautama Buddha finds that my message has essentials of his message too, then it's his choice. It is not a burden on me. I will go on criticizing him whenever I find anything that is not right for human growth in the future. But Govind Siddhartha's difficulty was that he could not keep a secret. One of the most difficult things in the world is to keep a secret, and such a secret. But I will remain exactly the same as I am, no compromises. Buddha and all the masters of the past can choose me as the vehicle, but I will not allow any pollution. My message will remain my message. Yes, they can, and Govind Siddhartha says it rightly. The river can fall into the ocean. Thousands of rivers can fall into the ocean. They don't make the ocean sweet. They themselves become salty. Buddha has chosen me as his vehicle because it was difficult now to keep hanging around in his third body anymore. 25 centuries have passed. In fact, a few more years have passed. He had to choose, but he has chosen a person who has his own message. It will surely be beautiful if it coincides with his essential. But if it doesn't coincide, then I'm going to be as hard on him as I have been before. It will not make any difference. I'm going to be his voice. I'm not going to be his voice. I'm going to remain my voice. But what Govind Siddhartha has seen is tremendous experience, a great realization. There are two more persons present here. If they gather courage, then their questions will be coming. If they cannot gather courage, then they will always remain burdened with the secret. It's better to bring it to the open and be free of it. And anyway, it is in the open. Govind has done almost 99.9% of the work. Nothing is left for you. Anybody who has been close to me has felt it many times that I bring Buddha, his life, his stories, more than those of anybody else to illustrate some of my ideas. Buddha comes very close to me. The difference is not 25 centuries, maybe only 25 centimeters, but there is some difference there. I'm not the person who compromises, and I will not compromise with Buddha either, but whatever is ultimate truth is nobody's possession, neither Buddha or mine. Only the non-essential are different. The essential is always the same, and my effort is to cut all non-essential and give you only the pure, essential message, because only the essential religion is going to survive in the future. The non-essential rituals are all going to be dead. With this century ending, there will be a new religiousness in the world, but no religions. Perhaps he has chosen a right man. And he has also chosen the right man in Govind Siddhartha to declare the fact. I was not going to declare it, because declaration from my side brings a certain compromise, as if I have become a vehicle of somebody else's message. I'm nobody's vehicle. In fact, my message and Buddha's message are almost parallel, so similar that it can be said that he was my vehicle, or it can be said that I am his vehicle, but it's not going to change my approach in any way. No, I will even be harder on Buddha, so that only the most essential and the purest part of him reaches to humanity in the future. There is different dimensions unknown to you. Open yourself to that which is beyond you. Sangam Sharanam Gacchami Dham Sharanam Gacchami. Summer.